As we continue to consider things bright and beautiful, creations of God, today we take on another familiar creation, fruit. Long ago, most people didn't have access to fresh fruit. There were no refrigerators or freezers back then, so fruit would spoil before it could be shipped very far. And if the fruit you liked didn't grow near where you lived, you simply had no way of having it, unless you traveled to where it grows. We are truly blessed to be living when and where we do. Children, many kinds of fruit are grown right here in Canada, and that which is grown elsewhere can be transported to us by trucks, or ships, or by other means. This is why there's such a variety when you go to the store to shop. Now, I'm sure we all have our favorite fruits. Mrs. Lipsy likes peaches. I like plums. But we enjoy many other kinds of fruit, too. As you know, in our church we have people who grow apples, raspberries, strawberries, and other things as well. We grow raspberries, too. But you can just about guess what I'm going to say next. That's right. What does the Bible have to teach us about fruit? Well, let's think about it. The first fruit. I'm sure you remember that God actually designed fruit to be the way it is when He created the world. Genesis 1 verse 11 reads, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. That means God designed fruit trees to have seeds for new fruit trees right inside the fruit we eat. We call them pits. Now, I don't think most of us eat plum pits or peach pits, do we? But back in the early days, the pits were where the seeds would be, and then they would take those pits, plant them, and then there would be more trees. But there were those two trees in the garden, the one from which man was not allowed to eat, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Once Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit, everything in creation changed for the worse. Man became a sinner. The rest of creation was burdened by the curse that we brought upon it. And worst of all, we lost our God. We actually became enemies of Him. So even though farming would become a lot harder, mercifully, God still allowed mankind to have fruit from other fruit trees, even till today. But that process that God made fruit trees to do was repeated over and over. And did you know that that actually points to Jesus Christ? You may wonder, how is that? When a seed is planted in the ground, if you could see it down there, it would look like it fell apart in the soil. But soon after, you'd see the little green shoot coming up toward the surface, and then whatever kind of seed it was would grow up, and if that seed is from a fruit tree, eventually that seed would become a fruit tree, bearing more fruit, more seeds, and so on. Okay, you might ask, how is that like Jesus? Scripture calls Jesus the first fruits of them that slept. Now that may sound even more confusing, so let me explain. You know that Jesus' death on the cross was the sacrifice that saved so many sinners who trusted Him by faith. When He was buried, think of His body as a seed placed in the ground. No, not an actual seed, but just like a seed goes into the ground and comes up beautiful and vibrant and bears fruit, Jesus' burial and resurrection has led to the new birth of so many sinners, the new life of grace. And now by that grace, sinners turned into the children of God now bring forth fruits of holiness to God. More about that in a minute. So that's why Jesus is called the first fruit, because many, many sinners would follow Him, being raised from spiritual death to live lives that are filled with the fruits of holiness. Bitter fruit. Maybe many of you have had the sad experience of biting into an apple that was rotten inside. You didn't know it was rotten at first, but you found it was rotten soon after, the very first bite. Well, the Bible talks about wicked people in a similar way. Some people are called hypocrites. That means they might look good or even godly when you first meet them, just like that apple might have looked good at first. But in the life of a hypocrite, it comes out sooner or later that they're not good on the inside. They're actually spiritually rotten. Now, children, if we're not born again by God, we're all like this. We might seem nice enough in our daily life, but God looks deeper. He looks way into our hearts and sees all the sins that are there. And if we go on in our sins, not really paying attention to God, not really worshiping Him or living for His glory, we will reap, the Bible says, the bitter fruits of that kind of life. In Jeremiah 21:14, God warns, "I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, saith the Lord." If you've ever bitten into something really sour or bitter, you'll have a sense of what the Lord means when He says, "It is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." You see, sins are bitter fruits, and the results of our sins are bitter too. How much sadness, arguing, disunity, hurt are the results of our sinning against God and against other people. No wonder God calls sin a bitter thing. Good fruit. Hopefully, much of the fruit we buy and eat is good fruit. That's the way God designed fruit to taste, ripe and tasty. And sure enough, God's Word talks about good fruit too. Not the kind we buy in the store, but a different kind. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Every good tree brings forth good fruit." And later He talked about a person who has an honest and good heart, who, having heard the word, keeps it, and then brings forth fruit with patience. So a person who lives what God says in His word is a fruitful person. Jesus is very, very pleased when we live a life like that. He says in John 15, verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified." How? "That ye bear much fruit." But now, if this fruit isn't the kind of fruit you find in a store, if it has to do with living a good or a wicked life, how do we get that good fruit in our life? It doesn't grow on trees, so how can we live a fruitful life, lives of holiness? How can we delight in obeying and in pleasing God? Well, let's just think a minute. Who makes the fruit to grow on the trees outside? Yes, of course, God does. Not farmers. Now, they try to help things along, but if God doesn't bless the crop, the fruit doesn't grow. Well, it's the same thing in spiritual matters. And would you know that all three persons in the Trinity have something to do with producing fruits of holiness in people's lives? The Lord Jesus obeyed, suffered, and died so that sinners might receive spiritual life, forgiveness of sin, and desires for God. He also said when we have faith in Him, that joins us to Him, just like a branch that is into a vine, so the two can grow together and bear fruit. Now the Holy Spirit takes what Christ does and makes it precious to us, real to us, something we need, desire, and then trust it. And the Bible says those spiritual fruits that grow in a believer's life, you know, they're called the fruit of the Spirit, God's Spirit. So in other words, we give God all the glory when we may live spiritually fruitful lives. But then God the Father also helps us bear more fruit. In John 15, Jesus says the Father purges, that means He prunes, so that that plant would bring forth more fruit. So troubles come in our life, afflictions happen to the people of God, pain, but God the Father uses those in a believer's life to make us spiritually stronger, spiritually more fruitful, more holy, more like Him. And the Father is honored when we live more like Him. Do you remember a minute ago Jesus said to us, Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So we pray for that. Well, it's time to go. Next time you reach for a piece of fruit, I want you to think about asking God something like, Lord, make me good. Make me as pleasing to thee as this piece of fruit is to me. Those kinds of prayers, prayers to be spiritually fruitful, they please God, because spiritual fruitfulness brings him glory.